things that that I've been doing in my professional journey a little bit, trying to transition into a leadership role where in the past I've been kind of more of an individual contributor, but having more responsibility, but not just for myself, but for other people. One of the things that that folks really tend to harp on a lot, developing leadership in a professional capacity, is that they tell you that what you're really working on is a constant state of culture change, and that if it's not happening in you, it won't happen through you. So there's a lot of emphasis on you have to, you know, it seems like it's obvious that you have to be what you want others to be. You have to show people the way. So as I was thinking about that, I kind of tied that into another recent experience, and this is something that happens to me every time I've bought a new car in the last dozen years or so, that the person who is doing the closing and working out all the paperwork and having me sign all the forms then gives me a little bit of a spiel about how I'm going to get a survey, a satisfaction survey, probably through email in the near future, and then they implore me that they really need me to fill that out. Then they give me a guilt trip about how if I don't give them perfect marks on everything, that means they fail. I've never completed the survey. I don't see the point, because anyone doing a survey just to be told that they are perfect isn't really interested in learning anything about themselves. So it's a waste of my time, it's a waste of their time, and it's a waste of money used to distribute and tally it, in my opinion. I've got better things to do than to tell imperfect people that they're perfect. What are they going to learn from it? On the other end of the spectrum, a joke that I hear some people say all the time, maybe when they're about to do something that's maybe a little bit underhanded or nasty, they might say jokingly, "It's all right. I know I'm already going to hell anyway." Somewhere in the psyche of perfect surveys and jokes about whether or not we're going to get into heaven is the notion that we aren't good enough unless we're perfect. That if we're somehow flawed, that means we're failures. There is this great scene in a movie that I watch all the time. Most of you probably haven't seen it. It's called Mystery Alaska, but... So I'll tell you the basic premise. It's just about a group of locals in a small town in Alaska that have a tradition of developing great amateur hockey players. And Sports Illustrated does a piece on them, and so it generates all this buzz, and somebody gets the idea to do some type of a publicity stunt to have a professional team, the New York Rangers, go to this little town and play against these local amateurs, just to see if they're really as good as they think they are. And the game starts out relatively even, but the depth and the talent of the professionals who play for the Rangers begins to overwhelm the locals. And so in the locker room before the last period, their morale is all but destroyed. Sports movies are very cliche in the sense that they always have the inspiration of locker room speech, right? And this movie's no exception. It has one of those too. But it has one line that makes it unique when their captain says, "We're not going to give our opponents too much respect." For those of you, forgive me, it's almost football season, so it's on my mind, but for those of you familiar with the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, you may know that the Buckeyes have a tradition of giving out a gold pants award to their players and their coaches whenever they win the game against Michigan. That started in 1934. Ohio State coach Francis Schmidt was asked how they stood against the unbeatable Michigan. The Buckeyes at that point had only beaten the Wolverines 6 times in 30 tries. Michigan was considered a favorite to win the championship that year. Schmidt said they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. It's the same idea. Don't build up something in your mind to the point that you think it's unattainable. So what does this have to do with us? To think perfection is needed to attain salvation is like saying there are some who are worthy of too much respect. That there are some who somehow put their pants on in a better way than the rest of us do. And today we're celebrating the Assumption of Mary. And she's up there. Way up there. And yet one need look no further than Mary to illustrate what I'm talking about. What made Mary special enough to be blessed by God the way that she was? Was it perfection? I doubt it. What Mary did with her life was dedicate herself every day to becoming the best version of herself, a better servant of God. That, to me, is what makes her worthy in God's eyes to bear the Messiah and receive God's blessing. Each week, we pray for the future of our parish, and we ask for God's guidance. Well, there it is. Our church, like each of us, like every other person, and every other church is here, not because it's perfect, but because we, whether we know it or not, are answering God's call to each of us to maximize ourselves in our faith, to continue to strive to become the best version of ourselves, and to let Christ lead the way in that journey. We pray that people will come to us. You all know I like movies. I talk about them a lot up here. When we talk about bring us people, when we pray for the church, future of our church, I think of Field of Dreams, right? Where we say, if we build it, people will come. I ask, though, to consider that do those who don't see themselves as worthy of salvation go looking for a church like ours to join? Jesus went to the people so that they would know him. People don't go looking for things that they don't know about. They just don't know what they don't know. Not until we show them what Christ can do when we strive to be the best servant that we can be for him every day. We were closed back in 2005. That was 17 years ago. And we fought for community. That's why we didn't care that we were standing up to a regime thousands of years old with wealth and reach beyond our wildest imagination. We said we won't give these people too much respect. Doesn't mean we show them disrespect, but it means that we don't let status, wealth, power, establishment cloud our judgment about what we need in our community to be better servants of God. And what we needed was this church. We said Blair may be a bishop, but he puts his pants on one leg at a time just like we do. That may offend some people. It did, in fact, offend some people. There was nothing offensive about what we were doing, and nor is it offensive now. How can it be offensive to say we want to be the best servants of Christ in our community? And closing our church is not the way to do that. It's not. You can call it disobedient, sure. But disobedient to whom? We weren't being disobedient to God. 17 years later, as we ask questions about our future, what we have around us is communities in decay. Remnants of old abandoned churches are becoming more and more common sights as we drive around Northwest Ohio. Many of them that aren't abandoned face dwindling attendance and aging membership. What do those of us that remain do with our church while it's still in a position to do something? What do we say to those who don't believe they are worthy of salvation or forgiveness or God's mercy? That is what I pray about when I think about the future of our church. Today we can look to Mary, who maximized her faith even when things looked darkest. Her journey to Bethlehem was fraught with danger and potential for disaster at every turn. Her faith never dwindled, and neither should ours. She watched her son be condemned by an angry mob and was by his side as unspeakable acts of violence were unleashed on him. Her faith never faltered, and neither should ours. We have no idea what will come next. Well, neither did she. All that Christ asks of any of us is not perfection, but to answer this challenge to become the best version of ourselves. May we allow the faith that got us here today to continue to evolve into the best version of itself as well, as a church. That is where salvation lies for us. That is where salvation lies for St. James Parish. And it is the same for everyone who puts their pants on one leg at a time. Now, Buckeye fans may have needed Francis Schmidt to tell them what was possible when they didn't believe it. In the communities around us, where we see abandoned churches, empty storefronts, substandard housing, crumbling sidewalks, God's people who live there may need to be told that God's salvation is for them and it will overcome whatever they are facing as well. But who will tell them and who will show them? It won't be someone who is perfect. And we'll waste a lot of time waiting for that person to show up. It will be someone who chooses each day to be the best version of themselves for Christ. And if it is happening in you,